Milk not from anything with four legs is becoming more and more popular. By now, soy and almond milks are mainstays. Coming in strong are milks from seeds, beans, and other grains and nuts. Think coconut milk. These milks don't just open up new drinking possibilities, they are taking beautifully to cooking and baking. Dina Cheney, in her latest book, The New Milks, explains how to make all kinds of vegan milks. Dina met up with Noelle Carter, our contributor from the LA Times.
Dina, it's such a pleasure to talk to you today.
Thanks for having me.
You know, when you think non-dairy milks, many of us think of almond or other nut-based milks, but there are so many other vegan alternatives.
That's right.
Could you tell me a little about the various options available and the differences between each?
Absolutely. The main types are coconut, legume, primarily soy, nut, seed, grain, and even tuber. So they're all different kinds. And yeah, it's kind of out there. And just to kind of go over them briefly, coconut milk many people are familiar with, but when you make it yourself, it's a real revelation. It's rich and thick and creamy, just tastes amazing, very versatile, and also really good for, you know, dessert recipes like vegan ice cream. Then you have tuber milks like tiger nut, which is just naturally really sweet, creamy, also a little high in fat and wonderful. The legume milks, especially soy milk, the most common one, they're very high in protein and calcium, and they're very versatile. They're really the most similar to cow's milk. Then you have the nut milks, and everyone knows almond milk, but you can also make pecan milk, pistachio, macadamia nut milk. So they really vary. They all tend to taste great and be very, very low in sugar. They're very, very good for you. The seed milks are rich in omega-3 and omega-6, fatty acids. And they're also really good for people with allergies. And then we have the grain milks, which I might not have covered before. And the grain milks, most people are familiar with rice milk, which has been popular in this country since the 70s. But why stop with rice? You can make millet milk, barley milk, kamut milk, oat milk. And the grain milks tend to taste really good, and also and many of them are good for people with allergies as well.
You know, it sounds like the options are almost endless.
They really are. Absolutely.
What's the difference between, say, commercial milks and homemade non-dairy milks?
Okay, so that's a great question, and I want to just put out there that I make my own milks a couple times a week, but I also buy them, so I'm an advocate of both homemade and purchased. The really big difference is that when you make your own milks, you have complete control over exactly what's in the milk. For instance, you know, so when I make my own milks, I really just put the solid ingredient like almonds or coconut and water. I don't add anything else. So I have total control. You know, I know it's organic. There's no sweetener in it. There's no, you know, stabilizers. That's really the main thing. You can control the content, the consistency. You can also make some kind of wacky varieties that you can't find in stores. The store-bought milks, usually they have additives, stabilizers, you know, different ingredients like gums and lecithin and carrageenan in some cases, which really kind of emulsify the milks so that the ingredients don't separate. You don't have to shake the milk. When you make homemade milks, you really need to shake them before you use them. So that's the main difference. And also, when I make them at home, I tend to use a higher ratio of the solid ingredient to water. So if I'm making almond milk, I'll usually use a cup of almonds and 3 cups of water. When you, with the packaged milks, they use a much higher ratio of water to solid. So there aren't generally as many nutrients. That said, many of the packaged products are fortified to make up for that difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
I know. It's a lot of information.
Let's say I want to make my own milks. Are they hard to make? Do I need any special equipment or anything?
So they're really, really easy to make. I mean, especially the nut, seed, and tuber milks. Let's say it's almond milk. You soak the almonds in water overnight. The next morning, you just rinse and drain. Takes 2 seconds. Throw them in a blender with some fresh water. Blend for about a minute and then strain. Voila, you have almond milk. It takes literally 5 minutes of active time to make almond milk. It's good to soak overnight, so you have to, you know, plan in advance, but it's so easy. Now, homemade coconut milk is a little more involved, but you don't need to soak. So you can have homemade coconut milk within a half hour of active time. The tuber milk is the same as a nut milk. You soak overnight for, you know, tiger nut milk, and it's the same process. Soy milk and grain milk, you do need to soak overnight, and then you need to cook the grains or the legumes before you blend with water and strain. So the grain milks and the legume milks take a, you know, slightly more time. But that said, I mean, they're really all very easy to make and very basic in terms of the equipment that you need.
And you can use these solids after you strain them. It's not like you're wasting the nuts. I mean, you can use the grains and everything for other purposes.
Absolutely. I mean, I never throw away the solids. I usually do strain my milks because I like to have the consistency be, you know, similar to store-bought milk, right? But I pretty much always keep my solids. I will either keep them wet after straining, just add them to smoothies or to oatmeal, pancake batter, quick bread batter, or all you do is pour them onto a parchment-lined baking sheet in a, you know, low oven, like 250 degrees, and bake for about 2 hours so that the mixture dries out, and then run it through a food processor, pulse it, and then basically you have homemade almond flour, hemp seed flour. And this stuff is expensive. If you want to buy, almond flour at the store, I mean, some of these flours, it can be like $13 for one small package. So you really do. And then you get the fiber, right? You're getting all the nutrients from the solid ingredients.
Yeah. Now, if I'm baking or cooking, do I have to worry about, you know, say if a recipe calls for milk, do I have to worry about what sort of non-dairy alternative I use? Is there any sort of guideline that I should keep in mind for substitutions?
Basically, you can use plant-based milks and dairy milk interchangeably. You absolutely can. The only things I would say is that like rice milk is pretty thin, right? So you want to think about consistency. Like, let's say you're making crepes. Rice milk would be great because, you know, crepe batter is thin. But if you need a thicker milk, you might want to go for coconut milk, right? If you're making with cooking, if you want to make a cream sauce, I wouldn't use oat milk or rice milk because they're thinner and oat milk is sweet. I would use cashew milk because cashew milk is creamy and rich and neutral in flavor. So, yeah, you want to make sure you match the consistency and the flavor of the plant-based milk with your recipe.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Dina, this is such a great book. I can't wait to try these recipes. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was great talking to you.
Dina Cheney is author of The New Milks. Our contributor, Noelle Carter, is the Los Angeles Times Test Kitchen Director and writes the Culinary SOS column. Now, Dina wants us to try two of her recipes, coffee almond pudding and vegan Provençal quiche. You can find them both at splendidtable.org.